Galatians chapter 6, please, tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. I would like to address the church tonight. And I would like for you, can everybody hear me? I'd like for you, particularly the regular church goers, members, non-members, those who participate in the services here on a regular basis, I'm addressing everybody. If you're a visitor here tonight, this message doesn't necessarily apply to you, but it does apply to you in some regard. But I want the church tonight to particularly think about the principles I'm going to talk about tonight, and you've prayed for me, and I've prayed about what the Lord would have me to bring. And as I said, if you come to this church on a regular basis, and if you're in the habit of giving in some way, giving of a tithe or whatever way that you give, then this message is for you. And I want you to consider tonight the pastor that is just recently retired, and I want you to consider tonight the new pastor that is coming. Okay? All right. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." I'll read it again. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And I want you to, we'll look at this word communicate tonight and just expound this verse. It's pretty much a topical message tonight. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for a time in the local church, and particularly in our churches that we are associated with, our church back home, other independent Baptist churches around Australia, and no doubt other churches all over the place. Lord, to see the importance and the amazing role and the calling of God upon a man to be the pastor of a local church, and the gift and the blessing that he is to a local church. And so tonight I would, Lord, you would help me to uplift that role and to help the church to, Lord, I figure here at this church they already know. But Lord, it may be good for us to be reminded tonight just of the ministry of Brother Buddy Smith and this man who has been faithful here through the years, and the blessing that he has been in the ministry of the Word of God. And no doubt many you have used him as an instrument to usher people into the kingdom of God, saved through this ministry. And Lord, we just thank you for our time together tonight. Help us again to concentrate our thought on this principle in the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let him that is taught in the Word, this no doubt would be a reference to the believers of the churches of Galatia, the area of Galatia. There was more than one church there. And this reference here, "let him that is taught in the word," would be those who are being taught the word of God in those churches. Generally, I wonder if anybody could tell me who is generally responsible for the teaching ministry, generally speaking. I know that here in this church you have a number of people who can do the teaching and the preaching, but generally speaking, it's generally the pastor. He ought to be able to take the Word of God and to communicate the Word of God in a way that people can take it in and grow from it. The pastor of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Just look at those with me quickly. It says there, and he gave. Isn't that a great phrase there? And he gave. That's God. God gave to the church apostles, prophets. We believe those ministries are no longer in operation today. Evangelists, pastors and teachers. The word pastors and teachers can be pretty much the same thing. Pastor, teacher. And the reason that he gave these gifted men to the church, these men are God's gift to the church. God's gift to the church. And the reason that he gave them to the church, verse 12, you know it well, for the perfecting, the maturing, the building up, the strengthening of the believers. For the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. No doubt you're very familiar with these verses. Take heed, Paul, to the elders at Ephesus. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Responsibility of the pastor is to feed the congregation, to teach to feed them the meat and the potatoes and the broccoli and the cauliflower and the good tucker from the Word of God. And it says that in verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And I think if you notice, if you come to this church, the emphasis in this church, the emphasis of the services is the ministry, the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. You don't want to go to a church where you're getting lots of entertainment, but very little of the word of God. It's the Word of God that builds in people's lives. We could go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we could go to 1 Peter chapter 5, but for the sake of time, we won't. So we could pretty much say here in Galatians chapter 6, let him that is taught in the Word, and the main responsibility with that teaching comes from the pastor. Now, with this in mind, look at the word communicate here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate, koinonia. It means to have a share in or to give a share to. In this verse, it has the idea of this. As church members are recipients of spiritual truths, they in turn show that appreciation by looking to the needs of the one who is imparting the spiritual truths to them. You find this principle throughout Scripture. Go with me in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 18, please. Numbers chapter 18. Verse 23. But the Levites, you know who the Levites are? These are the fellows. The Kohathites and the Gershonites and the Merarites, and these are the fellows who did the ministry in the tabernacle. They were to receive no inheritance of the land. And notice what it says here in Numbers 18, verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Also talks about that in 2 Chronicles 31, verses 4 and 5. Okay, so these men would be performing the spiritual duties in the Old Testament among the Israelites, particularly in the ministry of the tabernacle, later on in the temple. And they were to be supported by the other tribes of Israel. These ones who were receiving of the spiritual blessings. Go with me in the New Testament, please, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 26. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, these are the Gentile believers in the first century, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to unto them in carnal things. Now the situation here is there's a famine in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place where the first church started, and it was among the Jews. And the Jews taught from the first church there the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God was ushering in to the church the Gentiles, and they were being saved. And now there's a famine in Jerusalem, and the Apostle Paul says to the church at Rome, these believers of these other areas of Achaia and Macedonia and these other areas, these Gentiles, they have a debt to pay. And they need to get on board. They have been receivers of the message of the gospel. They have been receivers of spiritual truths. And now there's a need down there in Jerusalem, and you ought to get on board and minister to them in carnal things, material things, physical material things, and be a blessing to them. And you've got an opportunity to be a blessing to them. Those that are receivers of spiritual truths ought to be communicate and to be a blessing to those who minister those spiritual truths. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Carnal, ministering physical, material needs of these poor Christians, these Jews at Jerusalem. The principle is consistent throughout the scripture that those who are being taught the word of God are recipients of spiritual truths or to communicate unto those who are doing the teaching. Go to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see this word communicate here in the area of giving money. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This is a reference to this church getting on board supporting this man Paul. Yes, he was an apostle. He was also a missionary. And they gave to his missionary work, they gave to him as a missionary on more than one occasion. And the word communicated is used here. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof, or feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? You don't send a man out to war from Australia and go over to Afghanistan or Iraq and say, go to war and we God bless you, we'll pray for you, and just you buy your own clothing and buy your own weapons and you know, you don't do that. You don't tell a farmer that he's farming the land and he's killing his beef for the market that he can't have any of the chops and he can't eat any of the food. I mean, that's crazy. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? Paul referred them back to this biblical principle. Saith not the law also? This is back as we looked at. Verse 9, don't put a muzzle on the ox while he's working in the field. Let him eat what he wants to eat. Verse 13, Paul takes them back to the principle, as we said, we looked at in Numbers 18. The Levites being supported by the tithes of the other 11 tribes. Look at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. And verse 14, even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Even so had the Lord ordained. Right here, I believe we see the onus and responsibility of a local church in supporting their pastor. It's very clear to me. And I believe that the principle is, as the people grow in the Lord and learn to give, I don't think that we need to have fates and different things and put set stalls out here and sell to the local community to raise some money for the church. I believe the money for the church ought to come from God's people in learning the principle of giving. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, please. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially they who labour in the word and doctrine. Now, before I want to get to this phrase, double honour, I want you to notice a couple of things in this verse that God requires from a pastor. He must rule well. The word rule means to stand before, to lead, to attend to. It speaks of his accountability before the congregation. I'd like to remind us this evening, the role of a pastor is not he is a free agent, that he can do as he please, not so. To rule well speaks of a man who is faithful and diligent and serious about his calling to the ministry. But not only that, notice what it says here, he must be a man who is serious, a serious, diligent student of the Word of God. Labour, kopio. To feel fatigue, to work hard, to toil, to be wearied. Oh, my, oh, my. Harold Davies taught me the principle of expository preaching. And it was all well and good in the early chapters in Daniel. And then when I got to those later chapters, I started getting a headache. I had to go outside. I said to my wife, I'm going to do some weeding, chop some wood. I'm going to do something. But the blessing of expository preaching has been a blessing to me. Hopefully it has at our church. I know it has, but it's been a blessing to me personally. And it's this word labour is a similar word to study in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Any pastor that's worth his salt will be serious about the ministry and diligent in his study. This is a man who the Bible says is worthy of double honour. The word honour is a valuing. It means financial remuneration. It's where we get our word honorarium from. And the word double honour, this verse double honour, it means it has the idea of twice as much. So if you're a tradesman, you're on $1,000 a week, you do the sums. If you're a lawyer and you're on $10,000 a week, you do the sums. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I told our church years ago, I said it's not necessarily the amount of money, but I said it's the principle and a willingness to be a blessing and to do what you can to provide for your pastor, I believe is what it's about. Not only is he worth double honour if he rules well and labours in the word, but he's worth double honour because, think about this, the message that he carries. 2 Timothy 4:5, he's to do the work of an evangelist. The message he carries, the message he represents, that of the gospel of Christ, can change the lives of people's lives for time and eternity. As a teacher and a preacher of the scriptures, he's an instrument in the hands of God that can literally change the course of people's lives. Titus chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, God has manifested his word through preaching. That could be very well the best verse in the Bible. Do you realize that God can reach down into the human soul and touch the hardest of hearts through the ministry of the preaching of the word of God? You hear about chaplains in jails and going in there and just sharing a simple message of the gospel, and hardened men, their eyes moistening and lips quivering and coming under the sound of the word of God. As Romans 1:16 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The message that he carries is worth double honour. Number two is a counsellor. He's constantly dealing with people's lives. He has to deal with delicate issues, marital and domestic problems, family problems. He has to minister to grieving families at the loss of a loved one. He has to organise and officiate at funerals and weddings and dedicating of babies. He has to oversee the work of the church and everything that's involved with that. Organise and oversee the Sunday school program, the missions program, special events throughout the year. Takes a lot of work, a lot of thought, a lot of preparation. He's worthy of double honour because of his constant battle with the devil. I read a book, Charles Wagner, the pastor, and he made a statement I never forgot. And he said, the pastor will wrestle with principalities and powers that church people will never understand. And I've come to understand how true that is. He's worthy of double honour. He'll deal with ugly, disgruntled church members. I say ugly because when they're disgruntled, they're always ugly. And it's always the pastor who has to deal with them. He has to deal with false doctrine when it creeps into the church. He's the one who has to go to that individual and confront that person. That person promoting and propagating false doctrine, and if he doesn't do it and stand up and make the hard, tough, confrontational decisions for the church and for the Lord Jesus Christ, then the church will be plunged headlong into apostasy. I've had times and I've said to the Lord, I'm praying, Lord, you'll deal with this person, and the Lord's come back to me and said, that's what you're there for. The elders that rule well, who labour in the word and doctrine, they're worthy of double honour. And the truth is, you could never pay this man over here enough, really. You could never pay him enough. And you wouldn't do this job, let me tell you from experience, you wouldn't do this job unless God has called you. Because you wouldn't last. Now, having said all that, I think it's important if we go back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, please. I want you to notice the context of the verse. The context of the verse. On either side of this verse, or surrounding verses on either side, are two famous universal truths or principles that are imperative in the Christian to the Christian life. Verses 16 to 26 of Galatians chapter 5 speaks of walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God. A person who is filled with the Spirit of God is a person who is in tune with God, who is sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God in their lives. And then I want you to notice on the other side of Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, please. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is a farming term, a term as Christians we use often, and I've never seen it in the light of this context of this verse in this verse, verse 6. And the truth or principle of our lesson this evening is this, is that a church that is filled with the Spirit of God will be sensitive to and thankful for the work and ministry of their pastor and will purpose to communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things, will purpose to meet his physical, material, financial needs. And the church that has this attitude will reap what it sows. And already, round here, land, buildings. Just go to Philippians chapter 4, then we finish here this evening. Notice in response to Paul's talking about communicating with him, giving to him, notice what he says in verse 19. You know this quite well. We often quote this to each other. My brother, you know, God will look after you, he'll supply your needs. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The context here to this church in particular is because of their willingness to give and to give to the work of missions, to the missionary, the Apostle Paul. This was an attitude that they had. I believe when a church has an attitude of looking after its pastor and doing what it can for him, they'll reap what they sow. God in heaven will look down and say, you've got a need? Need a new pulpit? I can look after that. Got any bills? Got your public liability insurance to pay, and you whatever you have to pay. Just bring it to me, God says. Bring it to me, I'll look after it. Church, I believe, that is willing to look after its pastor, to do what it can for him, will reap what it sows. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially they who labour in the word and doctrine. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing ministry of the Word of God to our hearts. We thank you for the miracle of the Word of God, given by revelation, written down and recorded by divine inspiration, understood by illumination. And Lord, we thank you for your instruction to us from your word, how to live our lives, how to conduct our church services, how to have a correct procedure of church government, And Lord, we do thank you for the ministry of the pastor to this church through these many years, guiding and leading them in the right direction. And I pray tonight, I'm sure this church has already considered, Lord, what they might be able to do for the pastor and for also for the new pastor who's coming, as we consider these principles tonight. Lord, watch over us as we depart, drive our separate ways, safety on the roads, safety throughout the week, safety for all the little children, ones going to school, and Lord, your watch care over each one, people heading off to work tomorrow morning, until we can meet again on Wednesday night. And Lord, we commit our day to you now. We thank you for our time together in your house this evening. Bless our time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.